some sort of an emergency episode. It's going to be a sports one, completely sports, because the world has been turned upside down from south to north, left to west to east. It doesn't matter. I got Preston Poole with me. I got Jake Cart. You guys say, Preston, go ahead and say hello. Let everyone see your face, your beautiful face. And Chain Game represent. And then after you say hello and let everyone know where they can follow you at, and then we'll move over to Jake.
Yeah, follow me on Twitter at PrestonPool405. That's where I'm mainly posting stuff. That's basically it. That's the social media that I use. So follow me there.
Jake, have at it. The floor is yours. Before we let your feelings come out, just let everyone know where they can follow you. Let everyone know who you are and where they can follow you. They know who you are.
Yeah, I'm Jake. I've been around for a while. I've been doing a couple of these episodes. I mean, it's all the usual places of Twitter, Instagram, everything like that. And I noticed that Preston today is not rocking the OU shirt.
No, I need to get me some SEC gear.
Oh, you get some SEC gear. Okay.
All right. So before let's lay the land for everyone that doesn't know. The holy sanctity, the holy union that is the Big 12 is dismantling at our forefront. Preston and his hooligans are up and leaving, little brother. And I'm representing them. I got to represent for my boy, Jake. Got to show support in these hard times because, you know, they're losing their bread and butter. But, yeah, OU and Texas are leaving the Big 12. That is all but a done deal. Preston, we got to go to you first. Preston, what are your thoughts? Because honestly, and before we even get into it, before that Wednesday morning, last Wednesday morning, I woke up and I had this inclination. I had this inclination of I was about to edit some videos. And I was like, wait, football season is like right around the corner. The NBA finals just gotten over. So I was like, nothing's really going on. Baseball's quiet right now. I was like, I need to get ready for football. I'm feeling football. So I sat down on my couch, got my YouTube up and started watching football, just football stuff, whether it be the inside, you know, Clemson or freaking whoever talking about football right now, latest updates. And I put that out on Twitter. If you guys follow me, I put that on Twitter. I was like, football day, taking notes, beware. That was at 9 a.m. 2 hours later, chaos ensued. We're going to shoot it over to you, Preston. Let us know your initial thoughts when you saw it. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, this probably for OU football is one of the biggest, like, out of nowhere days since what Bob Stoops retired a couple of years ago. I mean, this dropped out of nowhere. No one knew what was going on. SEC, OU, and Texas kept this on the down low for, we're finding out now, maybe a year to 6 months. And it's just insane to think that they were just going behind everyone's back just to pull the rug out from underneath the Big 12. And when it comes down to it, I think it's the best move for Oklahoma and Texas together. Just because when it comes down to it, everyone wants to be in the SEC. The SEC is king. It's the cash cow of college football. So when it comes down to it, I think it's a good move for both schools, especially since some bridges got burned between OU and the Big 12 when it comes to game times. The Nebraska game coming up is the 50th year anniversary, and they slated that for an 11 a.m. kickoff. And that kind of really burned, rubbed OU the wrong way with Fox and the Big 12 and all that.
That might be like the greatest, like pinpoint of a reason, like the Nebraska. I know it's a big game. It is a big deal, 50 year anniversary, whatever. But like, that might be the greatest pinpoint of like that set them over the edge. Like, I don't know if that sent them over the edge, but if they had been working on it for the last year, 6 months to a year, that's pretty telling. Cause you know, I mean, the whole fan base just got done parading, and not that you guys didn't know anything about this. You guys kind of got slapped in the face just as much as all the other fan bases did, but you guys just got done parading. Like, you guys won six straight Big 12 champions. I mean, now the Big 12 championship doesn't even mean anything. Jake, what do you think? Because you are scared and I'm looking over cause I'm trying to see you, Jake. You're over in that screen for me. What do you think is about everything going on? You and I want to preface this all with, you are more than welcome to come home, come to a new home, Ohio State will take care of you. We will bring you in. We'll show you the ropes. We'll even help you get better. You can beat people like Rutgers. Jake, let us know your thoughts when you first saw this.
I mean, I think the thing is, my first thoughts were, you know, go figure, you know. Like, of course, OU and Texas are going to do something, like, masterful about to hurt the entire brand of college football. But, you know, the thing
I'm
is –
I'm going to pause you there. I want to let everyone know, I actually think, and I kind of agree with Preston, that this is probably good for football. We'll get into why I think that later. But I want to let everyone know, I kind of agree with Preston. I think this is going to be a good thing. But get back to this complaint that you got to file, this grievance you got to file, Jake.
No, I mean, to be honest, it was one of those things that I'm going to, like, that's a joke that I knew that this was going to happen. This is total curveball. I liked Preston's take of the Bob Stoops thing. I agree with that. It was such out of nowhere and how it was going on for 6 months. I mean, the thing is it logistically, it doesn't make any sense. I don't know why. I mean, maybe Texas, I understand from a standpoint of, you know, they want bigger and better things, and that they've been struggling for a long time, and then they can package this deal. Failing
Longhorn Network.
Yeah, and you know, you get to stick it to A&M and go to the SEC and all this stuff. For OU, though, it's logistically doesn't make that much sense, because one of the things is you've been dominating the Big 12. You know, you're not, like, here's the thing is it depends on what angle you're trying to go at. It depends on if you're saying, if it's for money, if it's recruiting, all of these things. You know, I think it'd be incremental steps. If you go to the SEC, you make more money. How much more money? That's kind of up to the debate. Big 12 is like the third best paying conference in America right now. So I don't think it would be that much more money. I think recruiting wise, you're top five recruiting school in the nation year in, year out. I don't think you move up, you know, you move from 5 to 4 or 4 to 3, you move up one spot. So, you know, if it's not money and it's not recruiting, it just doesn't make too much sense for me, because the thing is that you come in OU as OU, you won 6 straight Big 12 titles. If you were getting left out of the playoff every year, I think they would have a solid argument of saying, you know, we can't be in the Big 12. We can't sustain this because we're not getting the opportunities and everything like that. But the problem is that OU is making it into the playoffs. They are getting chances. And I think the thing is overall what will happen is, you know, I kind of agree with a lot of people where it's going to a minor league situation, but
yeah.
I think overall what's going to happen is anytime this is going to happen where OU and Texas leave, they go to the SEC. SEC is a powerhouse. 8 schools are on the hook right now in the Big 12. You basically diminish hundreds of millions of dollars of programs, and then they have to scramble to figure out what to do. And then I think what will happen is, especially when you expand and everything like that, the reason why I say it diminishes college football overall is because the beauty, the structure of entire college football is that this regular season is different than most sports, is that every game matters. If you lose one game, you're really sweating bullets come to playoff time. You know, especially BCS era, you couldn't lose a game. You had to be basically perfect. And now we're shifting slowly more and towards where I think OU and Texas go to the SEC. You have a 3-loss SEC team that gets into the playoff now, and it just destroys the entire idea of this perfect season in college football. Is it doesn't make a difference. You can just be good, skate by, get in the playoff and win. And so I think you diminish the season.
That's pretty much like Dabo Sweeney's take is you might have top 25 teams, but like the second you have like 12 people making the playoffs, where does the importance of the 5th week game of the year or week 5 game matter? Like, how does that matter? Or, you know, when Bama goes on the road to LSU and then they lose, but they're going to make it anyway. How does it matter to just keep all 10 games equally important? I mean, obviously they're not equally important, because
when it comes to the 12 team playoff, that is, I think, one of the big keys of why both of these teams are jumping to the SEC.
100%.
All things are pointing towards there being a 12 team playoff. So right there, SEC is sitting pretty to have maybe six teams in that playoff. Because you have Alabama, OU, Auburn, you know, who Auburn is hit and miss all the time. Georgia, Florida is on the come up. They have, they're going to have those top 60 teams that could make it into a 12-team playoffs.
100%. I think you're looking at, I mean, I'm going to get into it here in a minute, but I think we're looking at a SEC conference. Like, I mean, I don't think any of us can, I mean, even me as a Big Ten fan, Ohio State fan, like, we can't deny OU, and not even performance on the field. I'm just talking strength of like eyes on the conference. Adding OU and Texas are like, I mean, that you basically might, if you were to do the same thing from Big Ten, you're adding Michigan, Ohio State, or Ohio State, Penn State. Yeah. Like you're adding those two top tiers, and probably not even Penn State. It'd really only be Michigan and Ohio State that you could add from the Big Ten that could even like equate to it. But you're looking at a system where these guys are going to go in there. You're going to have a conference with seven of the top 10 teams just due to the sheer numbers of the amount of teams in their conference. And Jake, you mentioned, you know, Jake and I talked about this the other day, because I don't know about you two, but I could not hold in football talk.
Oh, and, no, I was going crazy on Twitter.
Jake and I, yeah, 100%, 100%. Like Twitter was a freaking cesspool the other day. Like, no, first off, Notre Dame fans, like I've said it before, I'm saying it again. Fuck you, Notre Dame fans. Notre Dame can eat shit. They can come into the Big Ten and eat shit. Honestly, come home, come to a conference.
While we're trashing fan bases, no one has looked like bigger bitches than Texas A&M in this whole entire thing. Texas A&M are the most scaredy little bitches out of this whole entire thing. It's absolutely a terrible look on them.
Mm-hmm. 100%. I mean,
I think OU Texas looked pretty bad in the deal of that. You're destroying the Big 12. Like, let's not forget that these are hundreds of millions of dollars of program, like Kansas State, Iowa State, Texas Tech, Baylor, TCU. All of these teams are left on the wire. You're going to destroy what we know of college football. I mean, the thing is that it would be, you know, it would be the same concept of if Ohio State and Penn State left the Big Ten would crumble. The only team you would have holding you up is Michigan, and there's just no way that they would be able to compete if you do it to any other conference. I mean, I understand now that we're all in negotiations and talking of that. I've already heard that Texas Tech, TCU, Baylor – have contacted the Pac-12.
Yeah.
OSU has contacted the Big Ten.
I would assume Kansas has also contacted. Kansas and Iowa State probably have also been in talks with both of those conferences. I mean, I'm looking at it. We got two spots in the Big Ten, right? They're probably going to look to add Notre Dame. Either it's going to be a competition between, and this is nothing new. It's already been said. It's going to be ACC Big Ten battle for Notre Dame. Whoever gets that gets obviously a huge financial gain in that. Like, huge.
I think ACC has a leg up right now just since Notre Dame played in the ACC.
Yeah, I think so too. But I think the sheer amount of money, I think, behind the Big Ten. Big Ten is like, it's not the SEC that, I mean, SEC is working themselves, like we said, to a minor league conference almost. And that's actually where I think all this is going to go. And I'll just jump right into it. But I honestly think that like 5, 10, 15, 20 years from now, we're going to be in a system that looks totally different. This collegiate system that we have going where, you know, your college athletics is tied to the school itself. I think I actually wrote this down. I don't know if you guys know what BOCES is, or like vocational school, where when you're in high school, you can go to like work at the wood shop or the mechanic shop or the barber shop or something. Like you can work on all these things. And I think we're working towards a system where college is going to adapt something like a BOCES, something like a voc school, where your schooling is learning football. Like your education is football. You get as good as you can at football, and you represent the school's brand as the team, you know? And I think that's what we're working towards. And that's going to be a complete, because the NIL plays a huge factor in this. I mean, now that players can get paid outside of the school can, it's basically, they're just representing the brand of the school. That's all it is. And so take academics out of this, take it out. And I know that's going to hurt for the schools that are a little lower in terms of performance quality, or a little lower in terms of revenue or whatever. But if you look at the top team, let's think about it. What there's probably 25 legit top tier teams. Like if you took like both the amount of money they make and the actual performance. So we can leave Texas off the list. But if you look at the amount of money that they bring in and the performance level at the top 25 teams, and it would probably be 36, they're going to be fine and they're probably going to excel. And the other teams behind them, I honestly think just create a whole new separate league for them. Like, we just create college football and it's just teams, players that represent the brand. And their objective is not to have good grades and excel at sports, but their grades are actually sports. Like, because guess what? When they don't make it to the NFL, that's like not having good grades and getting kicked out of the school, right? Like, you just don't make it to the NFL. But they choose to go to that school because it's Nick Saban or because it's Ryan Day at Ohio State or because it's Dabo Sweeney, whoever it might be, whatever the school might be, they want to represent that brand. It's no different than a kid saying they want to represent Nike or Under Armour or Adidas. Like, it's no different than that. They're just saying we want to go to this school because it's going to get us better brand deals or whatever it might be, or they have a better coach, so they might be more successful, or they might learn better and actually make it to the NFL. So I do think we're looking at a, you know, 10 to 20 years from now being like, college football is not an academic thing. It's totally different than that. It's a vocational, like almost like an internship almost. It's like an internship in so to speak, without the grades. Like, the maybe, like, I don't know how they could still attach academics to it, but for everyone,
you could
that
probably like, make like a degree plan of maybe, I don't know exactly what you would call it, but like a degree plan to get them prepared for going professional in whatever sport that they're going to end up playing, something like that.
Yeah, 100%. You can definitely create something around it, but like, and honestly, I felt the same way for a long time where it's like, oh, you want to keep like that same old tradition of college football, but like, it's just not going to happen because of the NIL. Like, they were able to get paid under the radar for so long, but like, it was a huge risk due to like sanctions and whatnot, the death penalty, shit like that. And now that's not even a worry. So like, it's not an issue anymore. Why don't we just completely change the whole thing and actually make it where like the best we're going to get insanely good college football out of this. Like, the competitive level, like, honestly, the team, and I want your guys' opinion, who you get, and this is NIL, it doesn't have to do with the conference realignment and stuff, but like, who do you think benefits the most from the NIL? I personally think it's going to be, you would of course say it's going to be teams like Florida, Bama, Ohio State, Texas, things like that. But the team that it benefits the most is USC. The Pac-12 doesn't have anyone. No one out of the Pac-12 will ever get in the playoffs at the rate they're going, right? But now that you can make money, USC's back, because guess what? Hollywood's got money. LA's got money. And kids want to go there because there's so many different brands.
Bryce Young at Alabama hasn't even started a game yet, and Nick Saban says he's close to making $1 million already off the NIL.
100%.
Like, it's going to be players like a starting quarterback for Alabama, starting quarterback for Oklahoma, starting quarterback for Texas, like, or a top running back for any of those schools. Those are the players that are really going to be making the big bucks. And you might have like a kicker that gets, you know, $3,000 for doing a commercial for insert car dealership, insert, you know, business like that. Those guys are going to be just making like the low dollars. It's the top players that are going to be making the big bucks at basically really any school. But like you said, a USC, a Texas, an Alabama, an Oklahoma, those top players are going to be making more than, you know, like a Kansas football player. Obviously Kansas basketball, those guys could make some big bucks, but you know, just those smaller schools their players aren't going to be making as much compared to like the big time programs.
Yeah. And I think it's going to benefit USC the most just in terms of like actual on-field performance. They're going to like LA, Hollywood, just that area where USC sits, they have that access to all that huge money. There's so much money there. They're the Will Ferrells of the world, the insert anyone that graduated from USC that like
Snoop Dogg
has success. Snoop Dogg, like, they're gonna pay the money to get these players there. I mean, think about it. If we had like a Reggie Bush type player right now that was considering to go to USC or Florida and they had the money, they're probably gonna go to USC, right? Because the money's gonna outweigh Florida. But but Florida doesn't even need to worry about that right now. And more so teams like Ohio State or Bama don't need to worry about that because their performance level was not hurt by the NIL. USC benefited the most because now they can pay their players basically legally, and have put on a great team for the first time in what, 10, 15, yeah, 20
USC
years?
USC needs to get a competent head coach that's not up and down every year as well. So
100%. But Jake, I mean, what's your take on, I mean, not really the, like, what do you think the teams that's going to benefit the most is, but like, just give me that, I guess.
I think, dude, when you talk about like the Pac-12, I think the guy that you're leaving out is Oregon. Think Oregon will definitely, with Phil Knight and Nike, and now you can like do a lot of stuff with that, because Oregon historically has been pretty decent in recent times, and I think they have a legitimate shot. I think, yeah, USC, there's going to be a lot of schools. I think Miami's going to be coming back on the rise. You know, there's a lot of areas that are hotbeds and big cities that, you know, can really benefit from the whole thing. But, you know, I just think it's one of those things that, like you said, like USC, like a player is going to go between Florida and USC. The problem is the SC, if OU and Texas go, the SEC is cemented in concrete, where Pac-12 is kind of up in the air, because their TV contracts are absolute garbage. I mean, the Big 12 makes more money than the Pac-12. So, I mean, that's the thing, is you have a conference that is blown up and dead that's better than your surviving conference right now. So it's like one of those things that you're kind of in limbo. I think the thing is that the Pac-12 will get a lot of those Big 12 teams, and I think they'll sell it in a package to where tell them like, hey, look, you'll get those central time games. Because the biggest problem with their TV package right now is it's West Coast time, is everybody on the East Coast or in the Midwest, you know, it's hard to watch those Pac-12 after dark games, you know, where I think the Big 12, if you're those teams like Kansas State or something like that, you can say, hey, look, we can give you that central slot time and then make your TV package much better. And then I think it overall can make the Pac-12 legitimate, you know, for the foreseeable future.
I honestly think we're heading towards, like, the SEC is just going to rename themselves to the Super Elite Conference once they absorb everyone else. It's just going to be called the Super Elite Conference, and it's just going to be, and they're honestly, all right, real quick, like, we have to get to a point where we can't allow, in football, just for the landscape of football, I'm not talking basketball, baseball, none of that, but we can't allow teams like Vanderbilt to say that they're like a top team. We can't allow that, right? Like, so, like, do they stay in the SEC? Because the SEC is about promoting the best quality. Like, there's no way Vanderbilt is going to – they couldn't compete. I don't think they could beat, like – they could be maybe beat the bottom three teams from each of the other conferences, right? Maybe. And I don't even think they could beat a team – I mean, they're part of the bottom three in the SEC year in and year out.
Well,
with
it's just
Mississippi
like the
State
thing
and Ole Miss.
It's just like the thing Tennessee, that happened with Tulane. You know, Tulane used to be in the SEC, and then they raised the academic standards and fell out of the SEC. And then now it's like one of the worst decisions ever in college athletics.
So you decided
to raise academics, and then now you're out of $1 billion.
That's another point, is like, that's why I think we are heading towards a super conference, super league of just the elite teams, where, you know, you have a bracketed system where it's regional based. It's like legit South, but it's a super elite conference. But you have the South, East, you have the Northeast, you have the Northwest, and you have the Southwest. And let's just say that all meets in the middle as well. Take the top teams from all those. They play regular seasons within themselves. And then the top four of those come together. And it's just like, that's basically an ultimate March Madness in the fall for 4 months. It's just constant good. It's literally, that's like prime time game week in, week out, no matter what. Like, you're looking at huge games. Yeah. And when you talk about the academics, you can take that out of it. That's why I think this BOCES thing, or this VOC, you know, whatever we want to call how they work, that's why I think it's going to lead towards that, because they don't want the academics part of it as much. Like, the only reason the academics want it is because it brings in their money for research and shit. But they don't really care about the athletics, you know, and the athletics don't care about the academics.
I think we've pretended like that's been a big deal for a long time. I mean, dude, just look at like basketball. The thing is if you're a basketball player, Division I, basically the entire month of April, you're gone. And the entire month of March, you're gone. Like, the thing is like you have 2 months where you're in conference tournaments and then March Madness back to back where you're not anywhere near your university. So for 2 months, those kids aren't going to school. And then we just pretend like, oh yeah, they're doing great and passing grades. And then we had the big paper class scandal where, you know, they're taking African language studies and they've never spoken African in their life.
Yeah, I mean, 100%. And that's why I think we are, I think down the road, I truly do. I think it's going to, they're going to separate them and whether basketball joins in that, because I think the other sports, you could still classify them under like collegiate sports, just because the access to success isn't like, unless you're like an Olympic swimmer or an Olympic runner, you're probably not going to like have the same kind of opportunities as a top tier football or top tier basketball player. That's just how it is. I mean, that's just the landscape of what it is. But I think definitely football will separate themselves a little bit more. Football like might not be an academic sport going forward. I truly think I think it would be way better for it.
Yeah. And once they hit the 12 team playoff, I think it's going to shift to 4 16 team super conferences. Like you said,
yep.
And then, you know, the four conference winners get automatic bids into the tournament at the end of the year. And with then they just pick, yeah, with the bye. And then they pick from there. So you're going to start seeing the bowl games go away. I've heard people say they're going to add more bowl games, but I don't think
I don't even think you need to reallocate the bowl games. Just make it the playoffs for those top 16 teams. If it's like the legit top 16 teams from each of the conferences and they play a season within each other and their out of conference games are outside of their region, not out of conference, like they just play other good teams from other regions. So say for example, you have the whole Northeast, you got the Syracuse's, Ohio State's, Michigan's, Iowa State's of the world. And then let's just say Northeast and maybe include West Virginia. And then in the South, you got the Bama's, the Georgia's, the Florida's, and then Southwest, you got the Texas, the O's, whatever it might be. Let's just say you have that. When you have those teams competing against each other, I actually don't even know where the fuck I started on that rant with, but like, say you have those teams competing against each other, they're out of conferences, like Georgia playing Oregon, USC playing Ohio State, Michigan playing Arizona State or Texas or something. Like you have those, they're out of conferences, just out of region. I think if you have those four regions, 16 to 18 teams, but they have to be the actual, like, I know it's hard to say because year in and year out, it can change. But like, I think we all know who like the top teams would like. If you just got a list of the 180 teams or something, you would be able to choose the top 60 teams. Be like, yeah, they're a top. Like you just look at it and be like, yeah, they're a top 60 team. Like you just know. And so if you just do that legitimately and then take everything else and make that Division I football and promote the fuck out of it as Division I football, is you're just creating two separate leagues. Maybe even change it where like the college guys play on a freaking, I don't know how you do it. They still play on a Saturday or something, but like just take it and make it its own thing. That's the best thing going forward. Honestly, it's the best thing because then now Sunday football is going to be on real good because you have better product coming from college. They don't have to freaking worry about grades. You have a better product. And it's basically a freaking, I just had a freaking notification on the Zoom, a gift from Zoom. I love it. Yes, I do love it, Zoom. But it's basically an internship for the draft. And then you can still have the draft just as you do because the players are just representing brands. Jake, I think you're ready to talk. I know, Preston, you want to say something, but Jake, have at it.
I was going to say just real quick, do you think that they went with 12 instead of 6 or 8 because of the New Year 6? They kind of thought like New Year's Six bowls, we'll do 12 teams in the playoff. So that way it'll kind of work itself out to where we can kind of keep the structure of the bowl season together.
Preston, I'll actually let you answer that one first. I think you had a jump on it.
When it comes down to it, I'm not 100%. That could be like the premier, like, yeah, here's the, you know, second half of the tournament, our New Year's Six bowls, and do like the first round at like a home field of the higher ranked seed, and then use those New Year's Six as a launching pad into the next round of the playoff. But I mean, I don't know. It's just too hard right now to get a grasp on what exactly is going to happen, just because it's not 100%. Yeah, it looks like we're going to 12 teams, but it's not 100%. I don't think realignment talks even start happening if it's not a good point that we're going to 12 teams. I'm not quite sure.
Honestly. I think the whole 12 team thing, I think it's one of those, like, it's just a money grab. Imagine if you have 18 playoff or a 16 playoff, you only have 6 playoff games that you can sell to sponsors, sell to commercials, sell to advertisers, but now you have 12 playoff games, playoff, like they have the name playoff over it. And so now they can push it better. And I think it's a money. I really do think it's a money thing. They know, it sucks to say it. And I'm sorry if you go to Coastal Carolina and you're a fan of this podcast. I hope you continue to be. But Coastal Carolina is just not beating Bama, right? Like, it's just not going to happen. They're a great team. They're great. They would be great in the new Division I football. They'd probably be a top team.
Well, when it comes down to it, we're going to have the same 4 or 5 teams that are going to make it to the Final Four every single year, like we already do have the same 4 to 5 teams that always make it into the 14 playoff that we already have. That's always going to happen. It's always been like that. It's always going to be like that.
Yeah. And I think when you look at that, like the whole critic about it is like, well, they don't play good teams at the beginning of the season. And it's just designed that way, right? They can. But imagine if you're in the super elite conference, the SEC. By the way, Jake, you don't understand SEC speed. Preston does. Big Ten, we do, because we got speed up there too. Jake, you just don't understand the speed that SEC runs at. Because when they move to the super elite conference, and you do have to play, the Georgias have to play Ohio State. The Bamas have to play USC year in and year out, these top tier teams. And obviously when you would ideally have USC, Oregon, these teams be like elite again. But when you have these top tier teams, there's no bye week there in terms of Bama's not getting Appalachian State week 8.
Yeah, you have no weeks off technically.
That's the whole thing.
I
think it will produce a way better quality football because you have from week 1. I think it actually makes it even mean more because week 1 you have Ohio State, LSU, and all throughout the season it's every game is huge. Every game is against a huge
name. And then turn on that allows your school to lose 2 to 3 games a year and not have to worry about going
because they're already going to have a 12-team play. So have a 12-team playoff at the end of the year for this huge super conference. And it will be legit the top 12 teams that you could get because they played tough. Everyone has a tough schedule. And yeah, you're going to get teams like Texas or Texas A&M where they're like the bottom tiers of it. And you're just gonna be like, oh, you played Texas or you played Texas A&M. But you already do that. People already do that. People already say, oh, you just played Texas. No, the only reason OU fans or like non-OU fans consider an OU win over Texas big is because it's the name Texas. It's not because of their quality of play. Like no one ever says that. Texas is not good. They're not bad.
Yeah, it's like the rivalry factor of it.
Exactly. And so like, let's just make these games like the thing is though, they're going to be good quality games versus Alabama, Appalachian State. And I'm not shitting on Appalachian State. I'm shitting on the fact that Bama plays 7 games a year. You know, Jake, what's your take on that?
Well, I think it's a thing of like, yeah, you're making the analogy of Appalachian State, Alabama. But here's the problem is Appalachian State beat Michigan in the Big House when they were a top 10 team. A lot of those games you're going to lose. What's happening with the super leagues and everything is you're killing the small guys. One of the best parts about college football, other than this regular season structure, is that the small guys have somewhat of a chance of that. Yeah, most of the time they are going to lose, but there is that small little chance. And the thing is, with creating a super league team and doing all this stuff and taking all this money away from smaller universities, you're just making that gap wider to where now it's never going to happen. Man, it's going to be almost impossible. And I think the thing is it's a dangerous territory when you're leading this. When you go into super leagues and you're talking about 12-team playoffs and 3, you might as well blow the whole thing up and play a 64-team, just completely copy and paste March Madness in college basketball, because that's where you're heading. And 40 years from now, we'll be sitting with a 64-team playoff and the regular season will mean nothing. You're going to play, quality opponents and have 3 or 4 losses. You're going to be 8-4 sitting as a 18 seed in March Madness, or well, it'll be January, whatever.
I don't think you need to do it.
Till March to get it finished.
They would have to extend the season. We can't have only 10 games and then get to the playoffs. I need 12 solid straight games of regular season. But no, I think a regular season super conference could work and then go into the playoffs. Because I think it continues to breed that top tier, top quality football.
This is a point that I had stolen from someone else, so I can't take credit for it. I can't remember who it was. But what if you give those group of fives their own national championship to play for? That way they're not having to compete against Alabama.
Yes.
You know, all those other teams for a national championship.
Yeah, that's 100% the point.
That's a great idea. Let's demote small teams to the FCS and make them Division II school.
They could still be FBS, but they're because right now, like you said, they're not going to win a national championship. They might beat a Michigan on a off chance that they block a kick and all that. But why not just give them their own national championship to play for? Because let's be realistic, they have no shot at winning a national championship against the Alabamas of the world and stuff like that.
Yeah, and I think a system like the Super League Conference would work when you have the Super League Conference being all the elite teams and then Division I football being basically everyone else that's FBS, and let it work itself. I mean, Jay, you're gonna tell me that if they did create a Super Elite Conference and had that system going in 5 years, you wouldn't still watch those other games? Like, I think everyone that loves college football would still watch those games, and it would be just as heavy. But here's the thing, and I think, Jake, we talked about this. The ESPN plays a huge factor in this. I mean, that's the biggest reason why this is all happening, is because they want to promote the SEC because they have all those rights. And good for them, because, I mean, obviously they're going to make the money on it. But, Jake, let me ask you this, and I want to equate it in a pretty cool – hopefully a cool way, but is football runs America, right? That we would all agree that on that football runs, America runs on Duncan, America runs on football. Well, if America runs on football and America is also capitalist, we like the fact that Amazon just shuts down small businesses left and right. We all loved that last year, right? No, we didn't. But the SEC is basically doing the Amazon thing, is they're just taking capitalism. They'll be like, we're going to get the best and shut all you guys out. Is that how you view it? Is the SEC just capitalizing on capitalism?
I mean, do you hate capitalism? Yes. No, but here's the thing. Well, you have to do, like I said, what are the positives of it and what are the negatives? And I think the negatives outweigh the positives of the entire thing. Like right now, the Big 12, this is kind of unofficial, but the thing is the Big 12 is willing to give OU and Texas a share and a half, where they get an extra half, where they will, OU and the Texas will both make more money than every other Big 12 school. They basically get an extra half of a share of the entire thing. And then you're starting to do all of these things. Basically, the Big 12 came out and said that they will basically do anything to keep it going, to keep the thing to status quo happening, because that's exactly what's going to happen.
They have no other choice but to
beg Texas
and OU to
stay. Yes, because OU and Texas don't operate like individuals. If an NBA player came out tomorrow and said, I demand to be traded, all this stuff like that, he would get fined. But when OU comes out and says, oh, well, we're going to leave and do all this stuff, nothing will ever happen to it. Because worst case scenario, you just come back to the Big 12 and continue on as nothing ever happened. And the thing is I think the detriment that will happen to universities like West Virginia, I think, is a huge loser in this. I think, you know, Iowa State, Kansas State, all of these schools could be massive losers. If you go from a Power 5 school to a Group of 5 school because OU leaves and you lose, I mean, we're not talking about a little bit. Like, here's the thing is OU is in Texas are overblowing this to making it seem like they're going to make just an insane amount of money. Like, they're going to double their revenue somehow. And it's not. They're just barely going to make more money. And the thing is you are way going to chop those teams in half. Kansas State is going to go from making $38 million on a TV contract to making basically nothing. I mean, who's going to buy a Kansas State TV contract? Basically nobody, you know. Yeah, and then, it's one of those things of you're making these teams a lower level squad when they're not.
I think I disagree, and I agree in a little, in a couple different ways. I agree with you in the sense that this is going to hurt. It's going to be almost like UConn getting kicked, like Big East getting dismantled. UConn was a national championship team, and now does anyone ever hear about them in any sport? Not really. Like women's basketball, that's about it. But that's like, that's very, like, very focused because they just had such a huge success the last 20 years. That's going to happen to teams like the K-States, the TCUs, the Baylors of the world. But teams like West Virginia, I actually think this benefits West Virginia. Actually, like, oddly, a lot. I think this benefits West Virginia because now they can almost get, they have an out to go to the ACC or the Big Ten. Because, I mean, Jake, we've talked about this a lot before ad nauseum, which is like, West Virginia should never have been in the Big 12 to begin with. Geographically, it doesn't make sense. They can't travel because it's just an insane distance. I mean, Iowa State even is pretty far up there. And for that, they should be in the Big 10. Like 100%.
Yeah.
So for West Virginia to be able to have an out to get to the Big Ten or to get to the ACC, I think that's actually a huge move and it actually benefits them. But for teams like K-State, TCU, not Texas Tech's probably fine, but
Baylor is the biggest loser in this whole entire thing. I think in the Big 12, Baylor is the biggest loser just because of their past. And yeah, their men's basketball team just won a national championship, but how much is that really going to weigh on?
It doesn't
a Pac-12 that is politically the Pac-12 is not going to take a Christian school from Texas, just based on politics of the whole entire conference. And I don't see Baylor fitting into the Big Ten in any way. And so they're kind of the biggest losers out of this whole entire
thing. Yeah, I think actually whatever happens to the Baylor almost happens to the TCU. I think they're a tandem package. That's also not something I'm taking credit for, like that idea. That's an idea that was like one of the first things that was said is like, what's going to happen to everyone else? It's like, all right, well, Oklahoma State could go here or there. West Virginia could go here or there. Kansas is still on, you know, they have a terrible football team, but their basketball team is good enough that Big Ten wants it. Like Big Ten will want that. Iowa State, they're fine. They should be good. But teams like TCU and Baylor, it's like, when you think about all the teams that are going to get fucked from this, they're the worst because almost if one goes to the Pac-12, the other's probably going too, right? Like, I mean, they're just a tandem. You almost think of them hand in hand. And so they're probably the worst off of this. But I think West Virginia, I think they benefit the most. Other than OU and Texas going to the SEC, making $25 million more than they have been or whatever it is. And we talked about it earlier, the recruiting factor of this, Texas A&M, no wonder why they're so salty and butthurt about it is they're fucked. I mean, their whole leverage this last 10 years has been, we will promote you on the SEC for recruiting.
Well, and the one thing when you look at Oklahoma recruiting, the one place they haven't been able to get a good foothold in is in SEC territory. They're starting to get into Florida more, but they're more a West Coast and like Texas type recruiting is their main bases. Now you get them down in SEC territory where they can get prime some time of those SEC kids, and the SEC kids don't have to stay at home to play in the SEC. They can go play at an OU and then still be able to play at an Alabama every other year or play at a Georgia every other year to where their parents don't have to travel as far, and they can still get out of their region that they're in to go to college, to get away from family or whatever, just to go experience new things, you know?
100%. I think it's a huge factor. I think like the aspect that OU is not only let's just call a spade, they're a top five team definitely the last 5 years, but the last 3 years, they're the top five team, top four team, if we're going to be honest. And so for them to be able to just now, I mean, it actually kind of still hurts Texas. As much as it benefits Texas, it kind of still hurts them because OU still has that leg up over them. OU has been dominant right now. Like, kids nowadays don't care that you had Vince Young in 2007, was it, or six or whatever, five.
Yeah.
I have it bad with math, so whatever. But actually, I'm bad with memory. But kids now don't care about that. They're going to look at, like, do you have rings? Do you have wins? Do you have guys that are winning Heisman?
So what have you done for me lately type of thing?
Exactly.
Like, what have you done?
Texas is not like, this isn't the end all be all for Texas to be back. This is not, it's going to take some work for OU. All they're doing is shifting their recruiting basis to a conference that wants success and has so much of it. Like, there's so many successful kids coming out of Florida, Georgia, LSU. I mean, all, or LSU, Louisiana, Bama. I mean, those guys now, like you said, if they don't go to Bama or something, or Auburn or Florida, like, or if they don't want to, because like you said, Preston, maybe they just want to get the hell out of their hometown, their hell out, the hell out of their own home state and go somewhere else. Maybe they want to go to Norman and go party at Campus Corner. I mean, that might be a thing, and it's going to happen because guess what? Lincoln Riley is there. And even though he was on the hot seat last year, he isn't this, he is back on the hot seat, but that's only because it's one of those, they're going to have to go into the SEC and prove themselves. Right. I mean, obviously it's not happening this year. So like, I don't have to say Lincoln Riley's on the hot seat for the SEC talk, but like Lincoln Riley is not on the hot seat this year yet. I'll take him off the hot seat, Preston. But I mean, like, yeah, it's a huge recruiting factor.
And go ahead, Jake.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I was going to say you're not talking about the biggest factor of all. OU is the biggest winner out of all of this by a country mile, because you just became best friends with your biggest rival. You get to hold hands and skip to Malu down to the SEC and destroy the one rivalry that you struggled in. Texas was always the game that OU struggled in, and then now you guys are best friends. I don't know what's going to happen. Are you guys still going to play in Dallas? Is it going to be a home-and-home series? Are you guys even going to play the rivalry anymore? I don't know. So it's one of those things.
The Cotton Bowl, baby.
Let's talk about the real – let's talk about the real big winner in all of this. Honestly, the biggest winner in this whole conference talk, this whole like shift of everything, the biggest winners are us fans and everyone that doesn't like Texas, because SEC is not going to tell the players that they can't do this. They can't do horns down. Horns down, dude. Horns up for what? Horns up. Horns up if you're scared. Texas, they don't get to fucking. I mean, that's. I thought the Big 12 was the biggest pushover when they were like, oh, 15-yard penalty if you do horns down. I mean, are we being honest here? Like, if they can do it up, they can do it down.
Texas is the biggest moneymaker in the Big 12. That's the only reason they did that.
Yeah. And now they're not going to be able to do that. SEC is not going to put up for it, because guess what? You ain't top dog no more. You got four other schools.
Yeah. Here's how much of a shit the SEC gives about schools. They didn't even let A&M know that they were courting Texas and OU to come to the SEC. They told every other school except A&M.
There's some conflicting reports about that Texas A&M did know, but they were still salty about it, which whatever. Yeah. But
and I mean, A&M's the one that dropped the news because they dropped it right as Jimbo Fisher was speaking at SEC Media Days this year. It's a whole thing, but yeah.
Here's the thing.
The SEC gets away with everything, dude. Mississippi State's got 30,000 cowbells. Freaking watch that Florida A&M game last year. They allowed like 70,000 people at that stadium to play that game. Like, the SEC doesn't care. They're not worried about it.
And that's what I'm saying. I think we're the biggest winners, us as fans. We can actually see players. Like, I mean, come on. You're telling me that the defensive back for Louisiana 5 years from now, when they're playing A&M, and he has that interception against freaking Sam Ellinger's little brother, and he just goes right in his face. You telling me that they're not gonna, like, everyone's gonna love that? They're not gonna stop it. They ain't stopping it.
No, I mean, dude, here's my problem, right? My problem is the thing, right? Is that OU is leaving in very suspicious territory, where it's Chris Kleiman is at Kansas State, and OU has never beat Chris Kleiman. My boys right here, this Kansas State, the Lucky Cup, is come through tried and true year in, year out. And here's the thing, is if you guys play in the Big 12 this year and lose to Kansas State and you go 0-3 against Kleiman, I am 100% certain you guys left for the SEC because you couldn't beat K-State and you're scared of Chris Kleiman.
Speaking of the Big 12 this year, note the two teams are going to get screwed the worst by refereeing this year in the Big 12, OU and Texas. They're going to be absolutely screwed. That's actually gonna be awesome to watch. Yeah,
I mean, but that's actually a factor I didn't even consider.
I can't wait to be in Arlington in December and have Bob Bowles be hand Lincoln Riley the conference championship trophy for one final time.
Dude, knowing Lincoln Riley or knowing like what you guys just pulled, he's gonna take that trophy and slam it off the stage and be like, "Fuck your trophy."
I mean, dude. Also, there could be another effect of this of what I think that we're missing out on is that think about it, this scenario, right? Which I understand. I hear it year in, year out, every year, OU is going to win the national championship. But think of it like this. If OU comes out, plays the Big 12, wins the national title this year, skips to the SEC, and then they don't win another national title for 20 years, 30 years, will we be sitting here 30 years later coming back and going, man, that was a horrible decision to jump to the SEC. You could have stayed in the Big 12 and repeated the success that you have had in the past.
That's like, a good, I don't know, just Jake, that's a good proposition.
It's going to change so much. Yeah.
Yeah. I agree, Preston. I think the landscape will change dramatically that, like,
yeah,
when we do look back on it, we'll be like, yeah, they hadn't won anything, but like the landscape changed so dramatically that like maybe it's Bama that never, like maybe the landscape changed so much Bama never wins again, right? Like that could be, but I think it is a good idea. It's a good question to ask because yeah, what if OU does win Natty out of the Big 10, out of the Big 12 this year, and then they bounce and it's like Jake just said, like you just threw away success that you could have had going forward. You could have had years of success. Yeah. Like, you have a stranglehold on the Big 12. You have this conference by its nuts.
Yeah, you're basically guaranteed. It's just like the playoff, dude. The playoff is the Alabama Invitational. Let's not pretend like it's not. I mean, they sold it. You know, I think that's the whole thing is they come out every couple of years and say, oh, we're going to put 12 teams in because the small guys are going to get in. And then when everything gets finalized and signed by paper, they pull a quick, we're just going to put the top four best teams in, and it's going to be the Alabama Invitational now from now on. So I think the thing is with OU, you know, you could be making a mistake in the sense of you got a guaranteed spot in the Big 12, but you go to the SEC and lose 3 or 4 games, you might not have that guaranteed spot anymore.
I think,
yeah, and we're putting a big emphasis on football right now, but when it comes around to like the athletic department at OU, this is going to help build a new softball stadium for Patty Gaffo down there. This is going to help improve the baseball program that they have. Basketball, I don't pay too much attention to SEC basketball, so I can't say one way or other on that. But
Preston, let me give you an insight on SEC basketball. Nothing special.
Yeah.
Nothing special.
But like this is going to put a stronger emphasis on some of those other programs that are good. Like they've been trying to build a new stadium down there for the softball team for 10 years, and they just don't have the money to do it. Now they're going to go to the SEC, get a bump in the pay, and they're going to be able to build that new stadium for.
But see, I'm sorry, but I just see this as a fallacy because the thing is that as Oklahoma State, we make a quarter of the amount of money that OU makes. But yeah, our softball field is top 10 in the country. Our baseball field is top 10 in the country. Our basketball, Gallagher IPA, Pickens Stadium, like all of these things that we have at OSU are super nice. We're highly super rated in every facility, Carson Creek. You know, the list goes on and on and on, and all of these things are super nice. And we make half to a quarter of the amount of money that OU makes, but they don't have – it's not a money thing. I think what the true problem with OU is it's land, is that you guys don't have the space. You guys can't shut down a building for a year, completely tear it down and build new because there's nowhere else to put those places. I mean, the biggest eyesore in my opinion for OU is Lloyd Noble. Kind of been a dump for a very long time. I don't know why they continue to run that place. And it's just,
they've tried to get, you know, the city of Norman and other things together to build a new arena off campus. But it just never materialized the way that they wanted to. Plus the fan, let's be honest, no one's showing up for OU basketball games.
Which is sad because you guys were good.
I supported them. I mean, last year,
historically, OU basketball has been decent. If you sit back and think about it, they've been good. It's just, no one wants to put that emphasis on going to watch the basketball program.
I think your problem, too, is that when you do that, you're going to start pushing the stadium farther and farther away. So one day you're going to end up where it's in a different – it's going to be
it's Noble. It's OKC.
It's going to be the Riverwind Basketball Arena
across the highway. So going forward, if everything happens the way we think it's going to happen in terms of just OU and Texas going to the SEC, let's just say, let's not project any further than that, OU, Texas to the SEC, Big 12 remains the same. Let's just talk about the SEC real quick in the future. I think it's actually going to be a shock to some of the teams. Jake, we talked about it the other day. I think some of those teams are going to be shocked when OU comes to town. I think Preston, you guys have such a good team in terms of like you guys are just really good right now. Like there's just no doubt about it. Like I'm not going to shit on OU right now because it's not the time. I'll shit you on you guys when you guys lose to K-State later this year. those teams aren't used to the type of style of play that OU is going to bring to the SEC. And I think it's going to knock some teams in the face. I think teams like Georgia, I mean, we're going to see it this year in the playoffs again, if everything plays out right for you guys. But like, I don't think all those teams are, I don't think they're ready for a team like OU to come in.
No, and
like,
I mean, you have a talking guys, heads in the country, like a Dennis Dodd, he said on the SEC network that OU and Texas, if they win it now, OU would be the fifth best team in the conference. That's absolutely wrong.
It's absolutely untrue.
They would be top three, probably number two right behind Alabama this year. Next year, I don't know, just because who knows if Alex Grinch leaves and how the other quarterbacks behind Spencer Rattler stack up. But if they entered the SEC this year and played, they would be a top three team in that conference.
Oh, I think like we would look at the SEC pushing Bama to the East probably, or at least Bama or LSU to the East, or Bama, LSU, Auburn to the East, or one or two of those three teams to the East to make room for OU Texas, right? Well, they've also talked about
the 14 pods as well, to have four teams play each other.
I didn't even know about that.
Yeah, you have like an OU Texas, Missouri, A&M or Arkansas, switch those out, and that they would all four play each other. Then you would play two teams from each other pod, and those would rotate every single year.
I didn't see that, but that's an interesting way to do it too. But like, yeah. You guys are definitely a top three, for sure, a top four team in the SEC coming in right off the bat. And that's being like you said, you think you're a top two team. You're putting OU right behind Bama, and that's fair. I think you guys would fit there. In certain circumstances,
just depends all on Georgia offensively, to be honest with you. If Georgia's offense was good,
And I think that if you could easily, that's why I say liberally, I'm saying top four team in the SEC right off the bat. And that's not with any SEC recruiting done, you know? And so once you guys get some of the SEC recruiting done, and who knows, if you do win a natty this year and Lincoln Riley continues to have quarterback success and success in other areas on the field, players from the SEC are going to want to come play for him. I mean, like, it's just like Dabo. It's just like Ryan Day up there, or even Urban Meyer, if you want to go back to that, or it's just like Nick Saban. Players, it doesn't matter where they're coming from. If you are winning, they will come play for you. If Lincoln Riley is winning, it doesn't matter what logo's on your chest in terms of the conference. They don't care. Yeah. Like, they do care about that, but they care about winning.
Yeah, we kind of saw some of that this year with the transfer portal, with all the Tennessee players coming in. We had an LSU player come in. It's like now they're seeing what Lincoln Riley is building in this program offensively and now defensively, that this is something that they want to come play for. Before, it was just offensively, you want to come play for this offense, and the defense is going to hold you back every year. But now you have both that are probably offense is for sure top five offense. That's proven. Defense, top 15, could be top 10 this year, maybe better, just depending injuries and if they put it all together.
Yeah, Jake, I want you to respond to that or whatever I said, whatever you need to respond. And then, like, the floor is yours for a few minutes. Just let's get your final thoughts real quick. Press now, then I'll go back to you, get your final thoughts, and I'll wrap up the show.
Yeah, so, I mean, I completely agree with all that stuff. I think the thing is a lot of people don't understand that, yes, OU has – you know, they've had limited success. They beat Bama in 2014 in the bowl game. But, you know, I think the thing is that it's totally different trying to game plan for Lincoln Riley's offense when you have weeks to prepare versus basically 3 days of game tape. You know, when you come in 3 days of game tape from an offense like Lincoln's, it's just you're running with your head on fire. Like, there's just no way that you can logistically you need years. And I think the thing is that the SEC will struggle to adjust to that system. I think they'll blow them up. The same concept that happened with A&M and Johnny Manziel. He came in and disrupted a lot of things that was and I think the thing is with OU is they're even better than where A&M was. You know, I think A&M got a lot of boost and they were kind of played a little bit better than they really were at the time. And I think OU, you know, if OU does that, then you're number two in the nation. You know, you're right behind Bama or Clemson. You know, you're right there.
Hey, or Ohio State. Put some respect on her name.
Yeah. Well, Ohio State might die in the Big Ten because of this SEC change. So I don't know how much.
Jake, the only way we're going to die is if you come to the conference and tear us down. But I welcome you with open arms.
I welcome you too. If we go to the Big Ten dude. That
you welcome me. You're coming into my house. You're coming to my house if you come in there. What are you talking about? You welcome me.
I will fly to Columbus and I will go to that. I will go to Columbus.
Yes. If Oklahoma State comes to the Big Ten and we play, you guys will definitely be going to a game for sure. Preston, give me your final thoughts on what Jake just said. I'll give my 2 cents and then let you finish it up, and then I'll close the show. But I do think that's kind of what I was saying earlier, is OU is going to go in there and disrupt it. You actually gave a great example of A&M. I didn't quite think of that, but like, that's a great example. OU or A&M went in there and just blew it up, because it just was, the teams don't have time to prepare for a team with that style. They've recruit based off the SEC, and now OU and Texas are going to come in with completely with a Big 12 style, Big 12, you know, offense, Big 12 defense, which for Texas doesn't exist other than Osai or whatever it was. But OU is going to go in there and disrupt some things, at least in the first couple of years that they're there. Preston, you take it away.
Yeah, I think final thoughts on the whole entire thing for me is that it's about time that OU is doing what's best for them, for their future. Realignment last time, they kind of hang around, you know, trying to get other teams to go other places, trying to get to the Big Ten academic-wise and all that. It's about time that they just do something that is best for them. And I think there's a notion out there that they're riding Texas coattail into the SEC. I don't think that's correct. I think they're going stride for stride with Texas into this thing. And I think it's best for both schools. Yeah, sorry about it. The rest of the Big 12, it is what it is. When you have the two biggest moneymakers holding up the conference, you know, screw it. You got to do what's best.
Ruthless. I like it, Press. I love that. I mean, it is ruthless. You do got to do what's best. I think if the landscape of college football moves towards a super conference anyway, I think it's smart to just bounce now, get into it now, rather than trying to play catch up with, like, say if it happened later on and they didn't join and a super conference was created with the super elite conference with Ohio State, Michigan, USC, Oregon, OU and Texas were the last ones to go there. I think they'd be kicking themselves in the ass. So yeah, I mean, it's one of those things. It is what it is. When the time's right, you just got to do it. You know, I agree. I don't think OU's riding Texas's coattails into this. I think it's one of those things. They just know the money that Texas brings because of what they are. And it's like, if they're going to go anyway, we might as well go too, because we would actually be more successful than Texas there. And like, OU is going to be more successful than Texas in the SEC. That's just a fact. Jake, did you have 2 cents? I feel like you wanted to spit something out real quick.
I'll tell you what my really – I don't know if this will ever come out or anything like that, but I honestly think the thing was is what really happened was Texas kind of flirted with the idea of going independent, of that they thought, you know, we have the Longhorn Network, we can do all this stuff, blah, 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 blah. And then they kind of came to realization of like, hey, look, we can become best friends with OU, screw everybody over, and we can hop ship into the SEC and see if we can work this thing out. Because then at the end of the day, not only does that work out for both Texas and OU, but you also get to screw over A&M at the same time. And so I think what happened probably originally was Texas flirted with the idea of independence. They probably got on a conference call with OU and said, hey, look, let's do this deal. Let's go to the SEC. It'll make us both better and all this stuff like that. And OU said, oh yeah, sell my soul to the devil. Absolutely. Where do I sign? And they signed the paper, and I think that's the history of it. I think the thing is we will be worse up because of it. But
I can't wait to hold hands with the devil, baby. I can't wait for it.
Preston's holding hands with the devil. The thing about Texas, they love fighting for independence, but when it comes down to it, they need someone else to do it with. That's going to be it for this show. Thank you guys so much for joining. That was super super fun to talk football with you guys. Preston, as much as I want Lincoln Riley to stay off the hot seat, I'm gonna have to put him back on it eventually. I know so. And if he loses to K-State, he's definitely going back on it. But everyone, thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. Be sure to check out my last couple episodes and all the episodes going forward. Like, comment, subscribe. All that shit actually helps. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter at The Bake Is Here. Preston's on Twitter at PrestonPool
405.
405, Preston Pool 405, Jake Cart at Jake Cart. I'll put them all in the description below. Please like, follow, subscribe, the whole nine yards. It's going to be awesome. This college football year and the next fucking 10, 20 years is going to be real exciting. Boys, it's been nice. See ya.